Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 3rd of July, recording at 9:23 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. For stock markets in Asia, it was a pretty good day here. Just about everything was up. An outstanding performance by the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, up 1.74%. And we had a number of new highs for the year, including the Indian indices, the Nifty and the Sensex, and also the Thai stock market. That's an important breakout. And then the ones that had been in form for a very, very long time, like Indonesia and the Philippines, they continue to push higher. European stock markets, a solid performance overall here. The UK FTSE index up 49 points at 6,339. And Wall Street closed out with modestly respectable gains, particularly on the heels of what happened yesterday. However, against the background of this strength, we saw some slippage in long-dated government bonds. Not surprisingly, they've had a fairly good technical rally recently. And in the US dollar, we had a modest rally. I should really call it a slightly steadier performance here today, following the hammering that it took yesterday, taking the dollar back to some potential support levels, taking the dollar index back to some potential support levels, but albeit within its downward trend. And precious metals eased a little bit here today. Gold currently down 415 at 653.10. And that was the weakest of them. And industrial metals a bit mixed in here. Nickel rallied a little bit. And sugar was a little firmer in here today. The grains and beans, though, mostly weaker today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, we have seen a return of some confidence in the last 2 weeks and a bit more for some markets, or you could say it never went away in some of the other markets. And my worst case scenario, as I've said all along, remains that we get some additional sideways ranging, sometimes with a somewhat of a downward bias, although we haven't seen all that much in terms of a downward bias, but essentially in a mean reversion process towards the 200-day moving averages, which I mention so often. I'll post a number of those later in the week so we can see how some of the more important indices have reduced, or the extent to which they have reduced those overextensions relative to the moving averages. Now, it's important to mention something that I touched on briefly in comment of the day just posted, and that is just over the last 9 months at least, I mean, we've had a lot of people making some very bearish comments. Essentially, the theme has run, I don't run through and review it all, but it's just said bubbles, bubbles everywhere, you know, and we've had a lot of forecasts of a crash. Well, there are bubbles. Everybody knows where those bubbles actually are. And as a matter of fact, bubbles are almost always present somewhere. And the only exception that I can think of to that would be following a global recession. That tends to deflate all the bubbles. So inevitably, after 4 good years and counting on the upside, we have seen some bubbles develop. Now, it's hazardous to play in that area or to invest in that area, so I don't sound too flippant. But if we look around the world as well, we also see some quite reasonable valuations and some very good growth prospects. And you will not be surprised to hear me say, or at least veteran subscribers won't, that a high proportion of those attractive valuations and very good growth prospects appear in the Asian markets, particularly the Asian markets. Yes, China's a bubble, but that's the only real bubble there. Some of Asia is really quite inexpensive, not least Thailand. And we also have the great growth prospects. And then a number of the resources producers are doing exceptionally well in here, and their markets are not trading at bubble levels. So it's important to say that, because I think we've had a fair amount of hyperbole from some of these extremely bearish commentators. And, you know, that doesn't mean that something isn't going to go wrong at some point in the future. Inevitably it will. But our reality check, in first place, we're not trying to tell the market what to do, or at least I'm certainly not trying to tell the market what to do. But if someone has been, and go back to this theme, if someone has been bearish for a while, sometimes they tend to become a little bit more strident in that view. And then there are others who I think have just been jockeying for position, that when markets do turn down, they want us to be able to say we called it and be quoted accordingly. And sooner or later, they will be right. But as our reality check, I like to look at the charts, as you know, and that won't surprise you, will it? And where I see consistent upward trends, and then I'm reassured that at least the short and probably medium term is still okay. And I also see some outstanding long-term potential in some of those favorite areas that I was just mentioning, such as resources producers and emerging markets, particularly the Asian emerging markets, which I feel are lower risk than many of the other emerging markets. Now, so that's the background overall. And we know what we need to watch in terms of global stock markets. Bond markets were a little weaker in here today. That means yields pushed up a little bit. But only to check the rallies that we have seen. If we get long-dated government bond yields spiking once again, well, then that will spell trouble. But I don't see that yet. I know why that could happen, and I believe that it will happen at some point out there. But I'm not going to be shouting about it in here today. It's just something to keep an eye on. So, moving on to other areas, in terms of currencies. I don't think the dollar is going to get more than a dead cat bounce in here, because the least kept secret in the world is that the U.S. needs a weaker currency, and it will certainly get it. It will ensure that it gets that weaker currency. They just print more of it. That's what's been going on. And a number of other countries do not want to have strong currencies, so they print from time to time as well. Eventually that will come around and be a good story for precious metals, but they're just not showing in the global beauty contest. They're not visible on that basis just yet. All these things change in time. The hot areas right now are these emerging markets, as I've mentioned before. And what else to touch on here? Industrial metals. Now, copper, and there's a little piece today in Comment of the Day on this Mongolian project, which Ivanhoe discovered, but Ivanhoe lacks the expertise and the capital base to develop it. And so in comes Inco, that's a ghost from the past. In comes Rio Tinto, which bought a major stake in Ivanhoe and then is developing the site. And it looks like they've got an agreement with the Mongolian government. Well, so what? Well, so what is that that won't do anything for earnings in the very short term, but it will certainly increase interest in the shares, and it already has, because This is a huge copper deposit, a huge, very rich copper deposit, and there's a fair amount of gold as well. So that will ensure a good earning stream for a very, very long time to come from those projects. But it'll take a while, of course, to get the whole operation up and running. So it's not enhancing profits in here this year or next. And in terms of that copper, though, the copper price remains very steady overall. Lead's the firmest of the industrial metals. It just continues to edge higher. Nickel is the weakest, as you know, and nickel's in what is probably a quite lengthy medium-term consolidation, and that's by virtue of the enormous rise that it saw going up to that $50,000 level and a few thousand dollars more. I'm talking about LME prices, and a few thousand dollars more on the cash nickel position. And what we've seen in the past when metals get those really big moves on the upside, this one didn't accelerate as much as some of the others, but it certainly was persistent and before rolling over at that psychological 50,000 level. Then those metals usually get, as I say, quite a lengthy medium-term consolidation. I would think in terms of a minimum a year. So that's the possibility. But meanwhile, nickel is still at an extremely high price overall. And copper, which had the big accelerated overextension last year and then the very, very big shakeout, has come back to levels where it's within sight of those former highs and has been consolidating. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if copper went through to new all-time highs, if not this year, next year. What else to mention here? These grains and beans, that's taking some of the heat off the inflationary pressure because those prices are coming down a little bit, or at least they've stopped going up for the time being. But this is a situation where prices can move fairly rapidly overall. But certainly that corn has been weaker recently on the good weather. Also, I noticed that those livestock contracts, certainly the pork, which I was looking at today, they have moved quite a bit lower in the U.S. So it's not all a buildup of inflation, as you know. And I have actually been saying for a couple of months now that I actually expected the inflation pressures to subside somewhat. And we have certainly seen a bit of that around the globe. But they will pick up again as global GDP growth gets another surge, as I suspect will be the case. That will be the case unless the central banks become overly aggressive, perhaps complacent because stock markets are so strong or because global growth seems so resilient. But they haven't done that yet. Interest rates have gone up a lot, but they've gone up from very, very low levels, and they're not at punitive levels. So, going back to square one, that's still a favorable environment for these stock markets. And that's it, folks. All the best until tomorrow.